This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Savisodi. It's our Health and Living segment today. It's our Mind Matters series, and today we're going to be discussing mental health support for the B40 communities. I think just yesterday, a lot of us read about at least 3 reported suicides as a result of, you know, directly or indirectly to COVID-19. And this impact of the COVID pandemic has pushed more and more people into lower income groups amidst an increase in Malaysia's poverty rate. You know, we also had statistics coming out of the Malaysia's Ministry of Health yesterday to say that about 120,000 people who called their helpline for mental health issues did sought mental health support. And most of the complaints or most of the reasons why people called in was, you know, they were experiencing either loss of income, a job loss, family and marital problems. So a lot of emphasis has been put on economic stimulus packages. But and also yesterday, our Prime Minister introduced some amount of money under the Pemulih package for mental health and emotional needs. So let's talk about that. And joining us today is Cindy Chumalian. She's a Community Development Director at Souls Health Thrive Well. Anita Ahmad, Lead for Community Development and Humanitarian Disaster Relief from Yayasan Hasana. And also joining us, Ms. Ching. She's been beneficiary of a program called Jom Sembang, which was initiated by Yayasan Hasana. And Souls Health Thrive Well was a beneficiary of a grant from Yayasan Hasana. This Jom Sembang program ran from November 2020 to April 2021. And it sort of benefited about 100 adults and children from the B40 community. So we're going to have that discussion. If you are interested to participate, or, you know, you want to contribute, please give us a call. Our phone lines are open. It's 7732900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, ladies. How are all of you today?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Cindy, let me start with you. You have a lot of direct contact with Undersouls Health Thrive Well. You deal a lot with the B40 community when it comes to whether it's mental health issues, right? You want to just give us a quick snapshot of the last 15 or 16 months, perhaps, when it comes to this underserved community, and what that experience has been like for Souls Health.
Sure. Thank you, Mira. So, yes, we at Souls Health Thrive Well have been working with the B40 community. Either directly they come to our centre, or we actually have been going as well to some of the PPR communities, for example. And this past 16 months or so, initially, when it hit already in early 2020, we could see there was financial issues, emotional issues creeping. But this past 3 months, I would say, it's been really a lot more severe, the impact. I think we could see initially, people will still be able to cope. They try to just make ends meet. But recently, it's gotten a lot worse. And emotionally, what has happened is people actually started to reach out. Previously, when we asked the participants, our previous participants, they said, still okay, still kind of hanging in there. But recently, because some of them also, they have our numbers and all, and they actually reached out to me. There was one recently. And so we also heard of several cases where family members had to be either sent to the quarantine center, young children, they were worried and all, and not to mention also deaths in close family members. So the situation is really a lot more severe, with a lot of fatigue as well for those who are still hanging in there.
Okay. And when you talk about the Jom Sembang program, maybe Anita can tell us how Yayasan Hasana decided to come up with this the grant, and then, you know, Souls Health sort of used up some of the money. We'll find out how you used it, Cindy. But Anita?
Yeah, so Yayasan Hasana was very fortunate to receive funding from the Ministry of Finance. simply because they recognized, of course, the government recognized that there was a great need in the among communities, especially before communities, to address the impact of the COVID. We provided the Hasanah special grants, and we approved about 110 projects. And amongst those, of course, applications came for mental health issues. But along with that also, we also recognized as well as a foundation that mental health issues actually existed even before the pandemic.
Yes.
And that's why we worked together with Souls Health in the past. And we knew that they were very connected with the B40 because they provided services to them. Plus, in our project also, we worked with them in a PPR, two PPRs actually. And that's where they discovered even more on some of the issues that were faced by the B40. So when the application came for them to apply for this, then it made sense for us to support them. And, you know, and in this case, it was really to help beneficiaries directly, responding immediately to their needs for mental health support.
Cindy, what about pre-COVID, pre-pandemic? What was the B40 was, they always, you know, underserved. They always, they have challenges, right? What did, is there a difference between how you, the sort of cases that came to you before the pandemic and during?
Yes, we do see at our center, when I say center, it's either physical or online sessions, especially nowadays. We do see more heightened the depression and anxiety levels. Previously, it might be more like interpersonal issues or so on. So nowadays, it's become more pressing when they come to see us. And the cases of those coming to see us also has about 26% for Jom Sembang was related to some level of abuse or trauma as well. So okay. That's something we noticed.
All right. And when you got the grant for Jom Sembang, what did you offer to the B40 communities? Did you offer anything differently from what you used to do before?
Yep. So the grant allowed us to give 100 beneficiaries an average of 7 intervention sessions each. So an average because some might require less sessions and some more than 7. So was it different? There was, it's still similar in the sense that it was our team of counselors and clinical psychologists who attended to the clients. But the difference would be we needed to also package it in, within that 6 to 7 sessions. So it has to be brief, solution focused enough to stabilize, to get them on with their daily life.
Okay. And would you say it was much of a success? Was 7 interventions enough?
Yeah, from our findings in the end, so there were, we buffered some so that we could give extensions in case for those who required them. So in the end, there was an average of 6 to 10 sessions for those who completed it. And the success was shown through the assessments we did. So we did like the depression, anxiety, stress scale and the quality of life questionnaires. And we could see that that difference in terms of the pre- and the post-therapy sessions for the 6 to 10 kind of sessions.
Okay. And Ms. Ching, yes. you were part of the Jom Sembang program. You reached out to Souls Health.
When
the pandemic sort of came about and you had your own life challenges. Do you want to share that story with us? How did the pandemic change your life? You know, how were you coping? What made you decide that you wanted to do therapy? Because there's a lot of stigma around wanting to come forward and go for therapy, isn't it? Yeah, let's hear your story.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Mira. Yeah. So when this pandemic happened, I call it really a big challenge. Okay, a big challenge to my personal life because I used to be a kindergarten. I have been a kindergarten teacher for over 20 years. So during the pandemic, we were forced to ask to switch online.
Yeah.
Online. So this really made me panic and nervous because I'm not good at all with technology. Okay, so it was hard for me to learn the apps. I really felt stressed because I want to be able to be a good teacher online. So this really stressed me out totally. Also, a part of my personal job here, I also struggled with my family because my husband was forced to take a pay cut and unpaid leave. So the financial pressure really caused a lot of family conflict. I was so depressed, okay, because all the daily routine is limited. I didn't have my own space. Yeah, so it was just so difficult, okay. And then my daughter came to help me, like showing me that, yeah, there is this soul health. She found out soul health in you know, in the website, okay. And she starts to help me by telling me that this may be good for you, Mama, because it's just too stressful. Yeah. Yep. That is how then I get to know about soul health.
Yeah. And, you know, what made you, when did you know you needed help? Because a lot of us will keep saying, telling ourselves, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it, yes. You know. But at what point did you decide, you know, I can't do this alone anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened exactly was like, I could cry, I could just get breakdown at any time, you know. And this is really kind of unhealthy in a way, as my kids all seeing me suffer so much here. Okay, even like at times when it comes to cooking, I have to be out or else I'll be fighting with my husband if he's in the kitchen. So it's just too difficult and too much, okay, for me to go on. To be patience, you know, to be tolerance. So my daughter was then telling me that how soul health help is just like if you are going to see a doctor, because there was so much stigma in me personally, saying that it's just too ashamed, it's just too embarrassed to share our own issue. Okay, why should we go to talk to somebody, they are stranger, they are just like, you know, what if they laugh at me and they start judging me? Then my daughter gave me a very good example, just like saying that, okay, just think that you are having a fever, so are you going to like, you know, needing some medication, right? Okay, so then that is how then I feel that, oh, it makes sense exactly. Yeah. So I then start to see that I got to be more open mind about it. And then I went ahead to apply to the Jom Sembang, you know, thing. Or
the program.
Yes, program. Yeah. Exactly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cindy, when you know, like someone like Miss Ching comes to you and, you know, you say, let's just say she needs medication. Are you in a position to actually prescribe medication, or do you send, you know, clients off to a psychiatrist, for an example?
Right. Thanks. In terms of the counselors and clinical psychologists we have on our team, they wouldn't be able to prescribe medication. But yes, definitely referrals and working together with psychiatrists is part of what we do, okay. So that we enable them to have the holistic care.
Very quickly, can you tell us what Souls Health Thrive Well actually is?
Yeah, sure. So we are currently a social enterprise with a purpose-driven objective of being a community mental health center. So not just doing mental health interventions for individuals, but we want to relate it more to what the community needs. And that's why we want to bring it to the community and not just wait for people to come to us, right, on an individual basis.
And how do you fund yourselves?
Right. So the funding is from a variety of sources. For example, when there's grants, such as the Hasana Special Grant. We also work with corporate CSRs. And we do also have services, paid services that would help from those who are able to afford to fund our services for the B40.
Okay. And this is a sustainable model, would you say, going forward?
Well, it's not easy.
No.
For sure.
This needs to be
still...
In my mind, we need to replicate this model and just send it out to the rest of the country in a huge way.
So I'm sure I want to tell you that it's easy, but no, right? It's not. We are definitely still finding our ways to be as sustainable as possible. So working with partners to be able to also learn from them how to make this as sustainable.
Yeah. Okay. Replicate, sure. Yeah, replicate the model and just send it out, right? We need it. Yeah. We need it so badly. That's coming up next. We'll discuss how Ms. Ching, you know, approached her sessions with Soul's Health. Anita, I want to know whether or not this Jom Sembang has any chance of, you know, more grants being given out under this program. And Cindy, of course, will come back and find out more of your challenges and how we can help support that coming up next. If you have a question, give us a call. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment today, it's Mind Matters. We're discussing mental health support for the B40 communities. Online with me, Cindy Chu Mei Lin. She's a community development director at Souls Health Thrive Well. Anita Ahmad, lead for community development and humanitarian disaster relief at Yayasan Hasana. And Ms. Cheng, who was a beneficiary of the program Jom Sembang, whereby Yayasan Hasana actually gave out grants to Souls Health to extend mental health services to about 100 adults and children from the B40 community. Now, that project has ended. It started in November last year and it ended in April 2021. It's wonderful just listening to Ms. Ching's story. And there's so many of Ms. Ching's stories, you know, all over. Yeah, all over. From all sections of our community, people are going through it in some way or another. Is there any chance Yayasan Hasana will actually continue with the Jom Sembang program, Anita?
Well, under the Hasana Special Grants, apart from Souls, we also supported five other organizations where we reached out to different segments of the population, actually. So, apart from being mindful that Souls Health's target was among the B40, particularly in the Klang Valley, although they did manage to reach out to other states, we also looked at the needs of other states as well. Because quite often, you know, a lot of the availability of such mental health provision is in the Klang Valley and more accessible. So we made sure that we tried as best as we can because it also went to the capacity of the organization. So some organizations are not able to scale sometimes. So we worked with an organization in Sabah to reach out to Sabahans, for example. They had concerns that their youth was facing a lot of stress because of the different lockdowns. We also worked in different organizations across the country. So yes, we will be expanding through various means. Under the because we're going to be scaling the Hasana Special Grants, and we're right now going through some of the discussions to expand because, of course, we are quite cognizant of the needs that are out there. Secondly, we also, so this is the Hasana Special Grants, we also have a long-term grant. Now, one of the things that, you know, apart from B40 communities that we recognize is that younger people are beginning to face a lot of stress and anxieties. So, you know, apart from addressing it to single NGOs, then we now want to look at mental health support through schools. Because really, that's the one place that you know, communities you can do, but there's a lot of hurdles that needs to be overcome. But through schools, there's an opportunity because there is already an existing system through school counselors. But the first of all, we're going to do a mapping to see what is available out there. What are the main issues that are facing school children? Because, you know, when you talk about mental health, also we want to do prevention. So that's why we're looking at school children. So we'll do a mapping and then we will start looking at what are the best ways to support. And then also with that and do advocacy. And with that also, you know, we've brought in Souls for consultations as well, you know, because they are, you know, one of the leading NGOs in this field. I'm actually talking a lot to them as well. In fact, after this, you know, talking to them about how can we scale this also digitally, you know? So I talked about, because doing the face-to-face, there's no time to, like, you know, because the typical thing that people say is, oh, we need more mental health practitioners, but we don't have that time for that. People are already facing this. So part of the conversation I'm having with them is that, okay, how do we scale this by using, you know, through collaboration, partnerships. Yeah. So, yeah, there's opportunities for sure.
And what were some of your strategies that you used to help improve emotional and mental well-being of the participants, Cindy, of part of Jom Sembang?
Right, yes. So in terms of the participants, really the therapists, counselors, clinical psychologists will work with them based on their needs. But among the strategies were like mindfulness, self-awareness of emotions. So creating that kind of platform for the participants to voice out. And to be honest, a lot of times, deep down, the participants would know what's needed. But at the start, there might be a lot of worry and confusion. And so it takes time to calm down. And with the clarity, the door opens. So when there is an opening of the door, there's a bit of a change in mindset. And then they would be able to pay more attention to what's really needed for them. So strategies in terms of the therapy skills, yes, there's a variety of therapy skills like cognitive behavior therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy. So depending on what the client needs, the therapist will work with them accordingly.
And Ms. Ching, what was your first session like? I'm sure you would have been worried and, you know, like, what is this going to be like? I can imagine, you know, having the stigma, you know, and already, right, when you came to the table. What was that like for you?
Oh, dear. It's not a pleasant session. The very beginning, to be honest, I admit I had been crying. I cried a lot, okay, with the therapist. And she was just patient. She was good. She really gave me a very safe space to talk about my problems outside of my family circle. She just allowed me to open up and taught me practical ways to release all the pent-up stress and the pain that I was keeping inside. Okay, through this, I was able to understand and regulate my emotions better then. Okay, so it was just like those she taught me about relaxation techniques such as breathing exercise, okay, deep breathing, and the other one called the progressive muscle relaxation. So I really learned all this to properly express how I am feeling and to communicate my emotions better with my family.
Right. Yeah. What was the most what was the most difficult thing that you feel you had to do? Well, what did you struggle with most?
It's so much about how our difficult emotions, our unpleasant thinking, being very negative, okay? So what I have learned from the therapist is how do you learn the skills such as knowing what I want, okay? What do I want exactly? Just making a simple request, using all the assertive learning skills, even saying a no, you know, or coping with resistance and conflict. And these are also applicable in my real life situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And seven sessions, you went through seven sessions, did you?
No, I managed to get 11. So it's like a bonus, Cindy.
Does Anita know about this?
Why do you think I like working with souls? So is the thing, right?
Yeah.
We like working with partners that go above and beyond.
That's wonderful. I was just going to ask.
Yes, it was like a bonus for me because I knew when I checked the price, my daughter, she said, no, mommy, this is costing us like 100. I said, oh, no way. But I would say a big thank you to Yayasan Hasana. Thank you, Miss Anita, for approving all this grant. And I really benefited a lot. And also thank you to Miss Cindy, SOL Health. You know, the therapist is just professionals. Yeah, I'm really grateful and blessed to have them in my life, my real good experience.
Yeah. You know, we always think by seeing a therapist, you know, it's going to be easy because, you know, what you don't realize is you come away and the hard work is on you. Not the therapist is not going to solve your problems when you talk to them, right?
Yeah.
You just assume you go there, they're going to treat me, you know, but the hard work is you.
Yes, exactly. That was the first session. I thought so. I'm going to just cry and please tell me what to do. It's my decision. You know,
give me a medication.
coming from my generation, you see, which is like so taboo to talk about mental health, you see. Yeah. So like, why? What do I need? I was all confused and much needed so much guided, you know, to see what's all these difficult emotions, you know, and the situations, which is really real in our life day to day. Yeah.
That is so good to hear. But I'm sure, you know, at some point, Ms. Ching, sometimes you feel yourself slipping again into yes. those, yeah? How yes. do you remind yourself to practice yes. what you learned, yeah?
Yep. So, like what I was asking my therapist, how is this going to be like successful way since I've learned so much technique here? So I admitted to her that, yes, I could have slipped out here and there, being careless, not mindful and so on. So I admit that I need constant practice. I need to learn like a new baby like this, a constant practice to make the techniques into habits. Okay. So I even though my problems are financial, the practices help me to process the situation, mm-hmm. the challenges better, and I will be more resilient while facing these difficulties. So it also helped me to better understand my difficulties and others. So that is how I go on with it. Yeah.
Sure. Because the pandemic is still going on. Yes. We're still in an MCO and we don't know when this is going to, yes. to end. Yes. Do you feel you're better prepared to face the challenges ahead?
To be honest, I wouldn't dare to say 100%, but we will do our best here, okay? Okay, with all the guidance and the skills that I've learned. In fact, it was so good that I have got all the notes in black and white. So I kind of going to make use of it as a reminder, mm-hmm. as a revision, just like going back to school. Why not? Okay, to bring out all my notes and just go through it. Yes. Each time, whenever I'm down, I would know where to look for the help, where to seek for this yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ways to help me up again, because it's just full of the ups and downs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And life is like that, right? I mean,
yes,
even pandemic or not, but that's great. So do you print out this stuff for people like Miss Ching? Cindy, or did you take these notes yourself, Miss Ching?
Yeah, I took it. The therapist did send it to me, some of it, which are ever is important. And I'm reminded to do some homework as well.
All right. Okay.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes,
homework.
Yes.
Homework.
Yes.
You know, somebody said, the brain is like a gym. You need to work out every day.
Yes.
And then
yes.
it becomes, you know, it becomes stronger, right? It's,
yes.
It's a gym. It's a, in yes. a way, you need to exercise yes. it like you would in the gym. So we'll come back and talk more about mental health issues amongst the B40 community. So it's just wonderful to listen to your story, Ms. Ching.
Thank you.
We will also come back and address some of the issues like the cost of mental health, to seek mental health care, and much more. Before I go into the market update, Cindy, Mary is asking for the contact number. How do we get in touch with Souls Health?
Right. So the Souls Health contact is 018-900.
Yes.
And
is it better to email or call?
You can actually email or call or WhatsApp us.
Okay.
Sorry, let me just continue. 900-3247.
Okay, brilliant. So that's 018-900-3247, Mary, if you need that number. Once again, if you want to share an experience or you have a question for either Anita, Cindy or Miss Ching, give us a call. It's 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment, it's Mind Matters. We're discussing mental health support for B40 communities. Cindy Chu, a Community Development Director at Souls Health Thrive Well. Anita Ahmad, Lead for Community Development and Humanitarian Disaster Relief from Yayasan Hasana. And Ms. Ching, a beneficiary from the program Jom Sembang, with us sharing her experience, dealing with mental health issues and how Jom Sembang helped with that problem. Just yesterday, the government decided to widen the psychosocial support through channels like Talian Kasih, through the Pemuli program that was introduced, and about 15 million ringgit has been allocated to NGOs to combat social issues. Cindy, is any of that money coming your way?
Hope so, definitely.
So you don't know, how does it work? Do you have to apply for it, or how does that work?
Yeah, so sometimes we do get in this, since the COVID-19 pandemic in early last year, we do have this MOH CPRC group, and we are part of that group. And so previously there was one round of allocations, which we were very thankful to be a part of.
Okay. I don't think any amount of money is going to be enough, given the direction we're moving into. But any support is support, I suppose.
For sure.
What happens after this, Cindy? The Jom Sembang program is over. You may get some support through this Pemuli packages. What did you learn from the Jom Sembang program, and are you going to do anything differently at Souls Health?
Yep, thank you for the question. So even prior to the Jom Sembang, we have been offering subsidized rate services for those who are unable to afford. But the Jom Sembang for sure allowed us to bring that subsidized rate even lower to a very minimal commitment fee from the participants. So with that, there would be some participants or even the general public who sometimes may really need a very much subsidized rate. We do our best to consider case-by-case basis, but where we cannot, we would refer them and we will ensure that they get the necessary help that they need. Beyond that, we are continuing still with the subsidized rate that we have started already. And we are also continuing with the community kind of programs, whereby the difference would be, instead of the individual-based kind of therapy, we actually go to the community and do like support group kind of styles, partnerships with other social enterprises or NGOs. So one example, if I may share here, is, and Anita would know this, it's a Women of Will, is another organization which got the Hasana special grant for a project in another PPR. And that grant allowed them to do nutrition, education, business coaching, whereby Souls Health Thrive Well, we came in to do the emotional support for the mothers. And there was another organization, Power of Play, who did the support for children program. So that we did not do like everyone, you know, had to go through like 7 therapy sessions. But instead, it was once a month, the kind of some psychoeducation and a 20-minute phone call where we had to do it online. Where we could do it in person, then it was like a 8-person support group where our therapist could be there for them. So these are the type of community partnerships where livelihood, so social, economic, emotional, could join hand in hand, and the children are also catered for. And we are very interested to expand such partnerships with other NGOs, as well as go into other kind of areas like for children, teenagers, schools.
Yeah. I'm very curious, Anita. You said the next steps is to go into schools and help through counsellors and all of that. And maybe between you and Cindy, you can help me understand this. And it's something that's been in my head for a long time. How do you navigate cultural differences, religious issues, and as well as, more importantly, I think our individual values and belief systems are different. And I'm talking about counsellors. In Souls Health, you probably have more control over who you work with. But if you're going into schools, you're going to have to work with counsellors who are there. And we all have our own fair share of biases. How will you manage that going into schools?
So, Mira, that's the thing with Hasana, right? We strongly believe in capacity building. So that's why the mapping is quite important. We identify what are the exact issues. So rather than listening to anecdotal remarks of what has been said in the past, we really want to study this. Then we know exactly what we can respond to and what is it that we're trying to seek to solve, so to speak. And then with that also, then we do capacity building. So a lot of our programs, you know, whether it's for economic livelihood or education, is about building the knowledge and skills for the person to be able to do and serve Malaysians better. And the other thing as well is that, you know, one of the things that quite a lot of conversation I've had with Souls Health, as well as our different partners, is apart from, okay, digitalizing, you know, how do we create a peer-to-peer support as well? So, you know, you can't expect, say, for example, one counselor to be addressing the needs of the whole school on top of their many, many different duties, right? So we need to look at other support as well that's available to students. Similarly, also in the community, we talked about, you know, how do we create peer support? So they won't necessarily be able to have the same skills as counselors, but be aware enough to know that that there's a referral. So what happens a lot of times is that people don't know what to do when somebody speaks to them about something. Yeah. So we wouldn't expect counselors to be able to do everything. And counselors is only at one level. Then you have, like what Cindy was talking about, clinical psychologists. And then you have psychiatrists. These are all different levels of expertise. So the important thing is, one is their own skill set. Second thing is knowing where to refer. And of course, cultural thing as well. I mean, that's part of the bigger program of awareness. So that's why I mentioned earlier. So when we do that program, we will have to do a lot of awareness program as well, in terms of making sure that it's not a stigma. And, you know, if you look at even Jom Sembang's program, they talked about when you do therapy as well, digging into your faith as well, you know, that your faith can be part of your recovery as well. It's not like it's a different thing. And I think I really like what Ms. Ching was mentioning. It's really spot on, is that if you can go to the doctor for physical a cure, why can't you go, you know, to a psychiatrist or counselor for other kind of support and help? So when you start using this language and you start saying that, you know, it's not like you ignore your cultural values or not. And there are many examples actually globally. And another thing I've been discussing with Souls is like, how do we use our culture to support this? So that's why we're talking about peer-to-peer support. What do we do? What do we bring back in the community where communities used to sit together under the tree and talk? But you know, in PPRs, that is not necessarily available. And you know, I can give you tons of examples of programs where we have facilitated where that brought back community members to come together and they start talking to each other, and that even provided a lot of support. So we tend to ignore this a lot. We tend to look at individual things. No, but no, I think you can't separate the two. There are many ways of doing that, and that's why, you know, apart from Souls, we work with partners that understand that, and that's why we work with partners like for Sabah. We worked with a partner that is from Sabah who understands Sabahan issues. Somebody from Peninsula is not going to understand what's happening among Sabahans. They're not going to just use the same language. You know, so these are kind of the things that we ensure, you know, as part of our support to our partners.
Yeah.
A lot of conversations and learning.
Sure. Cindy?
Yeah, thanks. Just to add on that, the participatory approach and collaboration is super important. So be it schools or communities like PPR communities, we ensure that we work with the local community leaders and really seriously listen to their feedback and in fact involve them in the coordination of the programs. And cultural barriers, like what Anita said, our therapists or our program leads will always use their strengths and what's relevant for them. So many times, yes, the faith actually helps them in coping. And we have actually at Souls Health Tribewell a multicultural team. And happy to say that when we go in and it might not be the same religion or culture, we're actually quite open to see, like, you know, for example, mindfulness-based techniques. You can be, you know, present, grounded, and it doesn't matter which religion. So they actually value it very much, the participants. And we also deal with the teenagers, youth. And happy to say they're pretty open and the parents allow them to really mix, right, with a whole range of different facilitators from different backgrounds.
Okay.
So that's a lot of hope there.
Sure. Ms. Ching, we're running out of time. Can you give me three things that you do every day to practice, you know, this sense of mental wellness, right? What do you do? I want to take notes because I need it.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Just three things that you do every day.
Okay. Yes, the relaxation technique. Okay. To take in your deep breath, hold it for a few seconds, and then to let it go slowly, just to get yourself much relaxed, to be able to face any more upcoming challenges. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing is I was taught to do journaling, like recording whatever that is in our mind. Sometimes it's just like too much thing, too much worries, too much emotions going on. So there is this technique called journaling. It's just to either you write it, or if you wish to draw it, you can, anything. So at least you get to relax, you know, your mind to see what exactly do you prefer. How do you want to clear your mind? Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one is, yes, to say your blessing and be gratitude with each day. The prayers, I would say, come by. Just take it as a challenge here. Okay. And then there's this, I would say, like, to say your gratitude, okay, to be blessed and pray hard that everything will be good, safe and sound. Yeah.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so very much.
Yes.
For joining me today, Cindy Chu Malian, Community Development Director at Souls Health Thrive Well, Anita Ahmad, Lead for Community Development and Humanitarian Disaster Relief, Yayasan Hasana, and Miss Ching, beneficiary of Jom Sembang. You're a star, Miss Ching. Thank you for coming
on. Thank you.
And, you know, sharing your story with us. If you want to get in touch with Souls Health, that number again, 018-900-3247. Thank you for joining us. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.